Man, it's hot. That's not even, I'm not setting up a joke. I'm just hot. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan? Jimmy Fallon said, Biden's like, it's a bold move that definitely could have waited until I was out of office. Pelosi has clearly stolen the headlines for Biden. Now to get back on top, Biden is thinking about getting COVID a third time. Colbert said the threats from the Chinese government have not been subtle. The Chinese warned that those who play with fire will perish by it. Have you seen California? That's not the threat it once was, China. The Chinese continue to rattle their flaming saber, warning the visit would trigger severe consequences. And no matter for what reason Pelosi went to Taiwan, it would be a stupid, dangerous, and unnecessary gamble. Colbert said, that's ominous and also a perfect slogan for White Castle. Oh, wait, how did this wind up in the Saturday notes? This was supposed to be in Friday's show. Jimmy Fallon loves a song parody. During the week, he and Kevin Bacon dressed up as Tears for Fears, and they did a roughed draft of Tears for Fears Head Over Heels. They built their spoof off the line, talk about the weather. It's kind of fun. It's a long way to go for a joke. The musicianship isn't bad. The impressions are good. I'm not sure how hilarious it is other than just saying, hey, they're dressed up as Tears for Fears. But check that out. That's on the internets. From the Laugh Button, every year for 30 years, Bob Saget gathered all his comedian friends for an annual benefit for scleroderma research that was titled Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine. Next month, the foundation will bring back the annual charity event and will also serve as a tribute to Bob Saget. This time, it'll be hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, John Mayer, and Jeff Ross. It'll feature appearances by Nikki Glaser, Regina Hall, Howie Mandel, Joel McHale, Kevin Nealon, John Stamos, and additional surprise guests. Saget's wife, Kelly Rizzo, said it was through laughter that Saget was able to touch many lives. I'm honored to continue the legacy he built through working with Bob's closest friends to create an unforgettable night with the same goal that Bob had, to find a cure. Jeff Ross said, I'm honored to be stepping into Bob's John Varvatos Converse sneakers to host the next cool comedy. These events meant so much to him and have always been a great bonding experience for us. Bob will be missed, but the show must go on until a cure for this awful ailment is found. The event takes place Wednesday, September 21st, 6:30 at the Beverly Wilshire. Tickets start at $500. Kevin Hart was on the Pivot podcast, hosted by former NFL players Channing Chowder, Fred Taylor, and Ryan Clark. Kevin Hart told the group that Black America has a, quote, warped view, unquote, about what it takes to gain financial success. This story from Yahoo, Kevin Hart said, our culture F's it up more than anybody else, very self-destructive. When we get to the places where that financial revenue changes, people start comparing salaries, and that's a problem. Hart said Black people should work together more and hold each other accountable. We take care of our own, but more importantly, we grow the data we get into the space of competitiveness. My hobby is ownership now. My hobby is realizing the rooms that I've been able to get into the hands that I shake, and I don't take that for granted. You're supposed to make more of those moments. That's what we don't do enough of. Our culture is caught up in the cool, but we don't realize the reason why the other side has worked so long and why they're so successful is because they figure out how to hold on to the handshake. Kevin Hart said working with Chris Rock and The Rock took nothing more than simple conversations because everybody's working towards the same goal. Those collabs work because there are no egos. We aren't competing. I'm busting my ass for the benefits of others. I'm trying to create and change something so that other people coming after can go, oh, F, we can either do that same thing or we can go past. Interview Magazine interviewed Nikki Glaser. They have a fun format. They just rapid fire these stream of consciousness questions and the comedians react. I'll pick at this over the next few days. Interview Magazine. Hey, Nikki Glaser, what's your morning routine? Nikki, my alarm is Taylor Swift's Delicate, which is one of my favorite songs. You might think it would ruin my favorite song to have it associated with waking up, but instead I associate waking up with my favorite song, and so it makes being awake slightly less excruciating. Then I take off my oversized t-shirt that's probably sopped with my night sweat, and I put on a dry t-shirt, shorts, and some Crocs, and I walk my dog while placing a Starbucks mobile order that I pick up on the route. Then I text my podcast producer and co-host that I need to start 20 minutes late. I head back upstairs to my apartment and eat two bowls of oatmeal and maybe consume a sip of water before heading to my podcast studio to record. What gives you energy? Glaser. Caffeine, being minutes away from being done with something that takes effort, my dog greeting me when I get back from the road. Whenever I've done a Comedy Central roast, I've done three of them, and at the end of every single one, I tell my friends to never let me do another one. It ruins my life for the 3 weeks I have to get ready for them. Not only am I such a B-word during these stints because I have to change the way my mind works in order to think of such cruel jokes, but I also exhaust myself writing and performing. Roasts are the biggest platform for a stand-up comedian outside of dating Kim Kardashian. That's funny. So I push myself to have the very best set possible, which means writing every day, performing and refining the jokes every night, multiple times, and doing lots of crying in between it all because I think I'm going to bomb. There's no way to really tell how you'll do the night of the show because there's no test run until the roast itself. Random audiences are nothing like roast audiences. It's much easier for an audience to laugh at cruel jokes about someone when that person isn't sitting on stage next to me. Something in that story reminded me when I went up to New Faces, I had my son with me. So we saw Pete Holmes and the New Faces. So we saw 21 comics total. And on the drive back, my son said that his brain was thinking in jokes that he couldn't stop riffing. And I was like, yes, when I worked at SiriusXM Comedy and I was around comedians and the staff all day, we did that all day long. I'm not a comedian. I'm not claiming to be a comedian, but you would get in the mindset of just everybody firing off one-liner. So it's interesting that my son said that to me. From Yes Weekly, the heavy hitters of comedy. Who are they, Johnny Mac? Well, apparently they're Tony Baker, Corey Holcomb, Carlos Miller, Gary Owen, and Tony Rock. They've announced the We Outside Comedy Tour. It kicks off in Kansas City on September 24th. Looks like a fair amount of dates here, going all the way to Miami, December 17th. So that should be a good show. From the Laugh Button, James Acaster is touring the States. This will be a short tour. It's called Heckler's Welcome. It starts October 2nd in Seattle, dates in Portland, San Fran, Austin, LA, New York City, Philly, Chicago, DC, Somerville, Massachusetts. I guess that's code for Boston and Atlanta. And that's it. 11 shows in 12 days. He's taking October 7th off. And at the Fringe, Marcus Birdman's run has started. Marcus Birdman says, if anything bad happens to a comic, we think this will make a good routine. Marcus, how did you get into comedy? He says, by mistake, really. My girlfriend's friend thought I was funny and entered me into the Daily Telegraph's new act competition. Having an essentially heroic disposition, I had to go and I ended up in the final. My show is about the stroke I had last June, losing half my eyesight in my recovery. Sounds hilarious, doesn't it? But don't worry, it ends well. I've worked hard to make it as honest and as near to the truth as what happened rather than chase the joke. Some extraordinary things happen, and I just aim to retell that. Being a very gifted yet largely unrecognized comic, if I relax, the jokes pour out of me, and I make it a rule not to be earnest or self-pitying. That's a jerk move. He used the D word. Any pre-show rituals? I try to have a beer and no more strokes. Best heckle? Most heckles are tedious, drunken rubbish. I don't adhere to this notion that they're part of stand-up. Any comedy bugaboos? My great sadness has been discovered that it's not necessarily the funniest comics who rise to the top, but the pushiest. And we also used to get a lot more free drinks. Who'd you look up to? No one, really. I had no ambition to be a stand-up, knew nothing, and no one. And what's the best advice you've ever been given? Marcus Birdman answered, was it Confucius who said, you don't drown by falling in the river, but by not getting out? Actually, it may have been Jackie Chan and Kung Fu Panda, but I've taken that very much to heart. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.